from people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 37 for April 11th, 2007. Kung Fu Grip. A little late, but better late than never. It's time for Mac Break Weekly. The Breakers are here. Breaker 19. I have Scott Bourne on Channel 9. Hello, Rubber Ducky. Go ahead.
Hey, you got the Smokey on your bandit, on your tail, on your pipe, and all that kind of stuff there. How's everybody doing?
We should do this whole thing in CB lingo today.
Oh, that's a Big Ten.
I'll pay you $100 if we don't have to.
I got a weasel, a womp rat in my sight, bear in the air, brought a windpipe. Rumble, rumble.
That is Merlin Mann, the king of the Kung Fu Grip at kungfugrippe.com, G-R-I-P-P-E. He spells it that way because he's French.
Oh, maybe. I've rebranded. Yes, I won't lie to you.
Kung Fu Grip. Now, how many? You've got fives, which is the number 5ives.com. You've got 43folders.com.
Yeah.
You've got the themerlinshow.com.
That's right.
And now you have kungfugrip.com.
Yeah, that's a revival of an old weblog or blog that I had in the early part of the aughts.
You know, it's funny because I remember that blog and I love that blog and I just didn't even know it was you.
Oh, you're just saying that.
No.
But you know, it's funny. It's I got to say, of all these funny little kind of Web 2.0 things you play with, we started playing with Tumblr,
Tumblr. You introduced it to me and I think it's so great.
And you know what? It's just so lightweight and fun, and you can just throw up a photo, and I'm really enjoying it. And I think it seems like it's caught on. Scott Simpson, by the way, who is about the funniest man I know, has a fun one.
Oh, does he? Oh, I'll have to add it to my list.
But a lot of people, I've just noticed, it's kind of where a lot of people seem to be moving a lot of their...
Scott's the iTunes guy at Apple, one of the iTunes guys at Apple.
And a gentleman. But you sort of talked about how, like, you've got the very lightweight stuff you do with something like Twitter or Jaiku. You've got the kind of medium-weight stuff that mm-hmm. you do with... Tumble log, and then you got you do a longer post
right,
or something like Vox
yep,
typepad.
Yep, that's what I do. And you have a new site, bowelmover.com, which we don't know. It's going to be some sort of Web 2.0 meets the outhouse kind of a thing.
Yeah, actually, Leo, I'm really glad you brought that up. This is something where we're seeing a lot of dynamism around this space right now. what I've done is I went down to Sand Hill and I've really drilled down with some people, and they feel like there's a few things that everyone has in common. Net, the fat part of the curve is going to come by being able to kind of monetize with what a lot of people would just consider leavings.
Wait a minute. Did they open the kimono for you, Merlin?
Well, you know, just friendy A, yes. We
okay.
did.
Okay.
And so did the sexy witches, I noticed, also. All right.
Oh, man, that sexy witches site, I've spent like half a day there.
Well, here's the thing, Leo. Merlin's decided that 43 folders isn't enough, so he's going for 43 blogs.
I think so.
I bet it's taken. I'm going to go look.
And you make fun of me for having lots of blogs.
Well, I was just going to say, you're not exactly a lightweight in this field.
Well, I don't have as many as Merlin. I got podcastingtricks.com, podcastgearguy.com, applephoneshow.com, ilivezone.com, and then Podango.
All right.
Five.
That was subtle, Scott. Where you kind of just kind of subtly work that in.
You know, it's actually becoming a problem with some of people, like the three of us. I guess it's because it's so easy to do. Create a website. You just keep making them.
We need a master blog for our blogs.
Well, that's what Leoville has become for me. It doesn't really have any content
on
its own.
And you do radio. Radio Leo is where you pull together all your podcasts?
TechGuyLabs.com is the radio show. Leoville.com is kind of the all-in-one. I don't want to go into
that. I think it's kind of neat that this is Amber. How about just jumping us straight into a rat hole to start? But Amber asked me about this a long time ago. Like, how can you talk to clients and stuff and have a site like Fives and have a site like where you could have something like Bowel Mover? And well, the truth is, I kind of like that because then just the 43 folders productivity stuff goes on 43 folders
right.
for the most
part. You can point people to the site that represents you in that space.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. There's probably too many, and it is kind of too easy in some ways to start a site. But I do kind of like the way that there's lightweight tools for the different parts of your personality or life. I think that's kind of cool.
I like this. Five things besides your ride that you might wish to pimp.
Yeah.
Your sideboard. Your clergyman. Your thoughts on transubstantiation. Where do you come up with this stuff? Your hypothalamus
or your ranch dressing mix.
Yeah.
I'm pimping my ranch dressing mix right now.
There's your title. Hey, what's going on in the world of Macs this week, Leo?
Well, Scott Bourne bought a quad, and that was good news for all of us because the next day Apple announced the 8-way Mac Pro. Actually, Scott's not the only one who bought a quad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say I'm not.
No.
Yeah.
Other people we know bought quads.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that I bought a quad. It was that I bought a quad with you in tow.
Was it that me was that triggered the whole thing? I think my...
Well, it is called the Curse of Leo for a reason.
Yeah. Boy, now it's spreading to my friends. That's kind of
bad.
This
awkward moment where everyone in the Apple store is pointing to tomorrow on the calendar and shaking their head no.
No, no. But, you know, you did the right thing because you just told me Pro Tools doesn't run on the 8-way.
Yeah, see, I really... By the way, it's nice to know you got friends. Looking at the comments section on the blog,
everybody,
you know,
laughs.
There was lots
at you.
Of
They're
lots
laughing.
Of ha ha ha, Scott.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, all you ha ha ha's. The ha ha's on you because actually, I bought this computer for a very specific reason. It does only one thing in life. It runs Pro Tools in my studio, and if you call DigiDesign down there in, just south of San Francisco. You can ask them, they'll tell you, it doesn't run on an Octo,
right.
And probably won't for a year, so it wouldn't have done me any good at all. However, the Curse of Leo effect did impact me slightly, because the two 23-inch Apple Cinema displays I bought went down $100 in price the next day.
Now, they haven't announced new displays, but I would presume that the reason the price is going down is because they've got new displays in the works. That's what the rumor is, of course.
Yeah, with more than likely an EyeSight camera built in. Once again, that's not going to impact me because this system sits in my studio. I have other computers for other things. So,
we drool over this 8-way? Is there any... I mean, I don't really... I mean, I've been saying...
Alex...
Well, Alex needs it.
Alex about it. He's thrilled because it's going to impact what he does. But 99 out of 100 people you know don't even own a piece of software that will take advantage of it.
I wasn't going to mention this because I'm afraid even mentioning it on Leo's show will cause some kind of blowback in terms of a new one being released tomorrow. But I, after waiting a very, very long time, bought a tower. So I got a Mac Pro. And I waited until after Scott had bought one. And to tell you the truth, I didn't buy the Octo because I don't think I need it for what I do. And my main thing is I was telling a friend, I kind of just wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be a $500 Super Octo mini beer tap version. That, you know. And then mainly I was satisfied that, okay, the Octo, that sounds great. There's no way I'm going to spend that kind of money, though.
Right.
Just it wouldn't monetize for me. It wouldn't amortize in terms of the what it – I just said monetize.
Yeah.
It wouldn't pay back, you know.
What you're saying is the ROI is insufficient on the...
absolutely. 8-way. I think really at the end of the day, when we look at what this thing is capable of...
Here we go.
So let me ask you something, Scott. Is there a reason... Do you like the Apple Cinema displays over... Like, I got a Dell.
The Dells are cheaper, and they're better, I think.
And I'm just curious, though, because they're pretty? I mean, not there's anything wrong with that.
I just want to say, don't only tar Scott with this brush, because I did the same thing. I bought the Apple 30 instead of the Dell 30. Which would have been cheaper.
I've purchased probably more than a dozen of the cinema displays for the various systems I have. I just happen to like them, and maybe there is something better, but I figure I can get the AppleCare with it. I can get it all at the same place. My time's worth something.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't trying to criticize. I was just curious because there are nice things about it. Like you get that nice, don't you get kind of a cool, like sort of all-in-one cable out the back that plugs straight in and everything? That's kind of cool.
You get a built-in FireWire and USB hub as part of the deal. And there's no getting around the fact that they're gorgeous displays. Now, with the price coming down to the point that it is now, I have to say, I probably, even if there was a competing product that I liked, it would lean me even harder towards getting the Apple because it's just nice to have everything match. And two of these 23-inch cinema displays side by side look awfully nice sitting over my console running Pro Tools.
One thing the Dell has, though, is a lot more connectors, including a HDMI connector in and... If you were going to buy one big screen display and want to use it as a TV and a computer, it would be a better choice.
My friend, I was inspired. My friend Mike Montero over at Mule Design inspired me to get this because I just saw his and I was like, wow, you can plug in. Let me look. Compact flash.
Yeah.
You can plug in this SD cards, little camera cards. But you're right. It's not as pretty. Also, it flips around. It does that early 90s vertical mode.
So what display did you get? What display did you get, Merlin?
Oh, I've had this one for a little while. It's not the ginormous one. It's the 2023. Is that right? It's not the crazy
the
big
cinema,
one. It's not
the Apple.
It's not the Ev Williams sized one. It's the that's the first time I ever saw a 30 was at Ev's house, and I couldn't even stop looking at her for like an hour.
It's funny, you get used to it, and then it's just another display.
Really?
Yeah.
I have two 30s at home, but I couldn't fit them in my studio, so I went 23s. And frankly, now that I'm using the 23s, I think I like them better.
They're wide, which is kind of nice. I got a Dell 23 for the Dell we used, and I have to say it's a beautiful monitor. It was 24, I guess. But anyway, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying Apple. We've got to keep Steve Jobs.
Oh, God, no, not at all. Yeah.
But I do want to make my friend Derek Story happy, because every single Apple computer I've ever bought, I bought maxed out RAM at the Apple store, and he always chides me.
What are you doing? You can get it cheaper
this time
anywhere.
This time I didn't do that.
Oh, you're going to buy your RAM somewhere else.
I went to DealRAM.com, and this is not my pick of the week, but it could be, because DealRAM.com is made a site that lets you see all the great RAM prices.
Oh,
cool. And it's just literally, if you're a RAM...
They don't sell it themselves. No.
Does that screw up your Apple Care if you buy outside?
No, as long as you have at least 1 gig of Apple RAM.
Oh, okay.
And I have 2 gigs of Apple RAM, so I'm cool. So the other 14 gigs are from Micron.
What? Wait a minute. Say that again.
How many?
The other 14 gigs are from Micron.
You have a 16 gig machine?
That's all it would let me put in.
That's a lot of RAM.
I'm running Pro Tools, Leo.
Does it use all 16 gigs?
Pro Tools will.
Another reason not to use Pro Tools. Holy cow. So
you don't need that, but I added it.
Speaking of a bloatware, John Foster put up a link saying that the Apple Creative Suite, Adobe Creative Suite 3 for web and print production is absolutely huge and bloated, and Dreamweaver CS3 is bad. InDesign CS3 is a disappointment. It sounds like this is a review from itenquirer.com. It sounds like there are some rumblings in the Adobe camp. People are unhappy about the new CS3. Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard much. It hasn't been out for very long. But, I mean, the main thing I heard was, just
price.
Kind of like the chatter that I hear is people saying, gosh, it's kind of a little bit, I don't know, weirdly like kind of PC Microsoft-like to have all these bizarre like combinations of things. It's just confusing to some consumer people. For people who are like enterprise buyers, I said enterprise.
Mode. You know why he was just consulting? He was consulting for the last 2 days, and he's kind of in that mode now.
And so, that's all I've heard. But this is interesting. I'm just looking at this article now. I hope they sped up Dreamweaver.
I'll tell you this. It's part of the problem is this being a program that goes so far back and Adobe's commitment to try to keep everything backwards compatible. There's no doubt that the code is going to have to be, spaghettied all over the place so that you can still open a Photoshop One document. I mean, Thomas Knoll said publicly way back when, you'll always be able to open your Photoshop documents. And I think they're trying to stick to that, but it's got to have a heavy cost. It has to have a very heavy cost on the programming side.
Right. Does anybody still use Dreamweaver, Merlin? That's kind of old school to do static pages in Dreamweaver, although now they have this Spry framework for Ajax-y stuff.
Well, it's a funny thing. I still actually, excuse me, I still kind of maintain a few sites in using the Dreamweaver sites tool just because I was too lazy to ever do PHP includes for them. One thing that is nice about it, and this goes all the way back to those products, kind of like Go Live and stuff like that. It does make it, for people who have pretty modest technical skills, it makes it pretty easy to administer a large site with common features. But you're right. I mean, a lot's changed.
It's kind of old school web design.
It is, and so much has changed. I think about, we've talked about this before, but I think about when I was first getting started in the web stuff, and everybody was cutting stuff up in Photoshop and opening it in Image Ready and outputting all those GIFs and spacers and standards-based design and the ubiquity of LAMP as a way to run all your stuff has really put a dent, I would imagine, into stuff like Dreamweaver.
Yeah. But do you use it? It might be good for a CSS tool.
You know what I like it for is, this is weird. I think I can do this in BB Edit, but I kind of forget how. I like that you can just drop in a big chunk of text, and then it makes it very easy to kind of grab. So grab the table that's surrounding where the cursor is right now, and it'll grab all the HTML around that. It has nice little tools like that.
Yeah, that's handy.
It feels a little slow to me. And then there's stuff like, is it like Skedit? And there's like all these kind of like, shareware apps out there that are, making pretty good strides. But right, WYSIWYGs just aren't where they were in 1997, PageMill and stuff like that.
Right. Aperture, you'll be glad to know, has a new free trial. Or at least that seems to be the case, according to this website. Is this new, the free trial for Aperture?
Free trial's been out for a while.
Oh, well, why did... Okay, somebody just put this on here.
He snuck that in.
Troy?
It wasn't me, by the way.
It's not new, Troy. Okay. Troy also gave us the Mac OS X kernel panic screensaver.
That looks like trouble.
From the unofficial Apple weblog. Just in time for... Well, too late for April Fools. But it still would be kind of cool to have lying around. You never know. Here's an interesting rumor. This is from Mac News Network, MacNN.com. Apple considering subscriptions on iTunes. According to the Intent MediaWorks research group, discussions with Apple staffers have led the company's CEO to believe that the iTunes store will see a subscription service within 6 months.
Hey, this is Satan calling. I'm pretty ticked about hell being frozen over down here.
I think it's a great idea. I love the fact that's the main reason to get a Zune. If there were any reason, it would be because of the subscription store. I'll tell you why. You get, and this was kind of an eye opener for me. I had a Zune. I obviously had nothing that would play on the Zune because all my stuff is from iTunes, or even if I'd bought stuff on Microsoft's site, I couldn't play it on the Zune. But for a subscription, $15 a month. You could look at anything, drag it over, and it's there. So you fill your Zune up like that, basically for one low, flat monthly rate. The subscription model works so well. It doesn't seem like something Apple would want to do. They've had such success.
This is what Alex has been ad nauseum requesting for for forever. And we've talked before about stuff like Rhapsody and how swell that is. But really I wonder what that would look like. What do you think that looks like on the iTunes store? Do you think it's its own little... area, or
I think they're talking about it being a separate, almost like a parallel iTunes experience.
Yeah, that's how Microsoft's doing it. Yeah. Essentially, is.
You can do it the old way or the new way.
I haven't thought much about it. Just in the 2 minutes that you've been talking about it, I can't envision it personally.
I have to admit, I would probably do it.
I would totally do it. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That gives you a chance to, you know, experiment with some music that you might not be willing to buy otherwise.
1 in 4 teenagers say they'd pay $500 for an iPhone.
What did 3 in 4 say?
No, it's 3 in 4 said they wouldn't. But that's the that's basically how Scott is spinning this story.
Wait a minute. Here's the thing. If you knew the size of that market, you would understand why Piper Jaffray says $200 is a target price for Apple stock.
Yeah, because these teenagers not only said they'd buy it, but they said they'd pay $500 for it.
And if 1 in 4 teenagers, that is a huge market. If 1 in 4 did that, the numbers that Mr. Jobs quoted at the keynote are quite a bit lower than what they'll actually be. Right. And I do want to make the disclaimer, I am an Apple Incorporated stockholder, but I'm telling you, with Piper Jaffray, not exactly a liberal group, coming out and saying that $200 is not an unreasonable target price for this stock, you got to ask yourself, where's that coming from? Well, I don't ever look at the news reports to find that out. I actually read the documents from the analyst, and one of the things that they were talking about is this story.
Is it 1 in 4 teenagers would spend dad's $500 on the iPhone?
Well, obviously, since 1 in 4 teenagers are unlikely to have that much money of their own.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. It's an easy thing to say. Well, would you spend somebody else's money?
Well, what percentage of your kids would spend your money on that?
But yeah, now? My 50% of my children would spend dad's money on the iPhone.
Sure, why not?
I think actually it might be 100%. Henry just has an evinced any interest. But my daughter, my 15-year-old, is absolutely adamant. She's got a junky old beat-up phone. She wants to get rid of it. She won't. She won't let me buy her a phone until June. Guess why?
Wow.
Can I have her as a guest on the Apple phone show?
Yeah, sure. She's totally expecting me to get her an iPhone. One little problem, we're Verizon customers for the family system, so I don't know what... I do have a Singular account for a review, but I mean, you know, I pay for a Singular account so I can review Singular phones. But
just one suggestion, Leo, just because I know you care a lot about your family. If you don't want to break your daughter's heart, if Scott promises to buy her a phone.
Oh, here we go.
Don't believe that because he'll come up with a whole bunch of legalese on how it just matched.
I should come up with something like that. I tell you. We're not far off now. A couple of months off now.
June 11th is what people are saying. I think that could be wrong, but that's a date that seems to now be floating around, June 11th.
Just to give that lend that some credence. I just plunked 750 smackers down to buy the new Nokia N95. So,
whoa,
there you go. I guess there's no iPhone in my future.
But wait a minute. I thought that the iPhone was the most expensive cell phone ever. That's what I've seen on many blog posts. How could you possibly spend?
Well, it's unsubsidized. It's an unlocked phone, so it would be cheaper if it were subsidized. But I like the unlocked phones. I'm really liking what Nokia is doing. I've always liked Symbian. This new one has 640x480, 30 frame video. It's got a 5.2 megapixel
camera. What are you going to do if you fall in love with the iPhone?
I'll get it for my daughter, I guess.
Okay.
Now, where do you see this? Where do you see this N95? You might change your tune.
Does it sync to a Mac?
Beautifully.
I can't get the site to load on Safari, which is not a good sign.
No, it works very well. It has a beautiful browser that supports Flash built into it.
Okay. That's a lot of money.
It is a little price. It's a computer. It's a 5 megapixel camera. It's a video camera. GPS built in.
Ooh. It's a slicer. It's a dicer.
Oh, it's got GPS.
What else does it do?
And for $10 a month, you get turn-by-turn signals. But it has maps, worldwide maps, and GPS. When I take a picture on it and upload it to Flickr, it will automatically upload the GPS coordinates. I mean, there's some neat stuff to it.
Which cool. Does it only work with Verizon?
No. It's a GSM. Unlocked GSM, so it works T-Mobile and Singular.
That's probably a good investment. You know, if you're spending that on an unlocked phone, see with Sprint has like a 700P that you can buy outright for like $699.
Yeah, phones are expensive if they're unsubsidized.
They've got all this like really Byzantine rules about which discounts you get and how long you've been with them and so on. But
I like unlocked. I'm a fan of unlocked. Mm-hmm. And I've become a fan. I got a loaner of the Nokia N93 from Vox, and I've become a fan of these Nokia phones. I've always liked Symbian. And I just think they're really, nice. So, and it supports Jaiku because it has this Jaiku presence built into it. So,
I'll go test one of those out.
I'll show you, and you could take a look, and then we could do a head-to-head comparison with the iPhone.
Because, while I'm obviously somewhat excited about getting an iPhone, if it ends up sucking, I'm still going to need another phone.
There you go.
So. Wow, I've never heard the possibility of equivocation on the iPhone matter from you, Scott.
I'm getting to Scott.
I just, here's the thing. I just wanted to do something to balance the misperception that I'm going to say it's good if it's not, because I'm not.
No, that's right.
If it sucks, I'm going to say it sucks.
That's
but
right.
I'm anticipating that it'll be like all the other Apple products I enjoy, and it won't.
My God. Okay.
So you want it to suck, don't you, Merlin?
I have a question.
There are a lot of people who want it to suck, though, or sitting there waiting for Apple to fall on its
face. Oh, God, there's a lot of people.
Yeah. Dvorak.blogspot.com or whatever.
What phones are out there that will sync contacts easily with a Mac? I mean, with the Trio.
Symbian works beautifully.
Really? And with a Trio, I do that with Missing Sync.
I do it via Bluetooth with my Nokia.
Person on the planet I know, Merlin, that can make Missing Sync work the Trio phone with a Mac. So
don't jinx me. I have had no problems ever with that.
I've gone through six Trios trying to do that with no luck.
Wow.
I've been very happy with it. Believe it or not, it uses iSync. And it does it via Bluetooth. It does it very quickly. It does it very effectively.
Fantastic.
It does iCal. It does the contacts.
And Sony Ericsson.
Is this the phone you just bought, Leo?
Yeah. Well, no, this is the N93, which I've had. Oh. I just upgraded the N93 to the 93i, which is working beautifully. But I'm waiting for the 95. I bought the 93 was a good experience for me. The 93 looks like a camcorder. It's kind of a funky, weird phone. The 95 is a little smaller. Oh. It's got a slider interface.
You've got as many cell phones as Merlin has blogs.
It's a business. I know. And it's a business. Unfortunately, it's kind of a hazard of doing the radio show. One of the topics that is most popular kind of in the mainstream gadget arena is cell phones. Because that's the computer most people have. 1 billion cell phones a year are sold. I mean, that's much more popular than the PC. So that's what people want to know about. So lately, and I don't really enjoy it. Well, I'm starting to enjoy it, actually. But lately, I've had to become a cell phone whiz. Spent a lot of time on cell phones.
This is pretty. So it's got a little sideways, slidey outy thing.
Yeah, doesn't that look slick?
That's really cool. And it's got a little...
I buy one at the Verizon store?
No, it doesn't work with Verizon. It's GSM.
It won't work with Verizon.
No,
that's right.
No, it's GSM.
GSM's a little card thing you put in?
Yeah, it's a SIM card. You have to have it. But that's what... See, unlocked phones basically are for GSM because you have to be able to take your card and put it in a new phone.
So will it work on Singular then?
It will. It unfortunately, and this is a sad thing, it supports HSDPA, the new very high speed, much better, third generation network. And Singular has HSDPA in San Francisco. It's a different frequency than the N95.
Oh.
So it will not support Singular's US HSDPA. I know, it's a shame.
Well, that's it. I'm not buying it then.
You have to use Edge. But it does Wi-Fi, and you could put a SIP phone on it. In fact, there's a site you might want to check out called Fring. I love it. Doesn't that sound like Fring? Hey, the Fring. Fring, Flavenhaven.
That Fringin' phone.
Fring is a mobile VoIP application for cellular handsets that will interface with your Skype or Gizmo or whatever you use. And it works on the Nokia phones. So, and it says it will work with 3G networks as well as the Wi-Fi networks. That I'd like to see.
Hey, we'll have a shootout.
As long as we're pimping sites, I like to pimp a site my friend Eric does called PhoneScoop. Have you ever been there?
No.
It's really cool. PhoneScoop.com. Anytime I want to go learn about phones, that's where I go. It's a really terrific site for just catching up on the latest stuff. It's got a little community stuff with reviews and
adding it to my bookmarks.
Yeah, fantastic. I think it's if you're in the market for, and I, you know, the thing is, if you're like me, and this just makes your eyes glaze over to hear all these.
I know it's very hard. Yeah,
it's a good way to go in, and even phones that are like brand new, he'll have kind of a sneak preview sometimes. So yeah, phonescoop.com.
Our friend Rail used to do Mobile Whack. I guess he sold that, but that was a great site for the same thing. I loved Mobile Whack, but PhoneScoop.
That was cool. Rail. Rail did that?
Yeah.
God, he's such a renaissance man.
He is, isn't he? He is. But I think I understand he sold it. Yeah, the PhoneScoop has a good review of the N95, if you want.
And speaking of pimping and speaking of Rail.
Cricket Stick It.
Quicksilver Stick It.
Cricket Stick It. I'm downloading it right now.
Yes, yes, yes. Disclosure, I am on the advisory board for Stick It, but that doesn't change the fact that it's an awesome web app.
Stick It.
Quicksilver, everybody's favorite application launcher and manipulation tool, has just come out with a really cool...
Did it come from Quicksilver or from Stick It?
No, it came from Alcor.
Stick It.
I begged him to go make it.
Oh, it came from you is who it came from.
Well, indirectly. No, I mean, I said, you know, he loves the challenge of coming up with something that'll make the best use of, you know, whatever he has access to in terms of an API. So it's really cool. My favorite thing, I had this on 43 folders today. My favorite thing is you can set up a proxy trigger where you can basically select a string of text and hit one key. And it'll silently create a stick it based on whatever you selected.
Oh.
You can also edit your stick its right inside of Quicksilver.
So instead of Google Notebook, I could use Stick It to paste all my stuff into.
You could. I mean, again, like there's so many of these kinds of tools. It's you know, I'm not saying like, you know, go cancel everything, go cancel your backpack. But it's kind of a nice, I mean, like to me, this kind of changes things. If really with the API for Stick It's pretty powerful. And I think this is a good example of what you can do. You know, with that kind of access.
Cool.
So, yeah. Anyway, close pimping tag.
100 million iPods sold. It only took them 5.5 years, making it the fastest selling music player in history, faster than the Walkman, faster than the Rio. It's November 2001, and they've now sold. 100 million is a significant landmark, I would say.
Yeah, that's and there's still people out there saying, yeah, that iPod thing's never going to work.
Never go anywhere. Here's the question: is anything something eventually will replace the iPod? But what's it going to be?
iPhone.
Yeah, it might be.
I don't know. That's a good question, Leo. Because I think one thing we kind of see this oscillating between two poles. You know, we see this with every kind of technology. Do we want a really like a Swiss Army knife all in one, or do we want like the best of breed Unix-y kind of single purpose tool? And I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. I mean, one thing that's interesting about the iPod is as much as people come up with these cute little hacks, you can put Wikipedia on your iPod and stuff like that. It's not, yeah, Scott's kind of right, I think. I mean, the iPod is pretty much a music and video player. You know, I think it would be interesting to see what happens next with the technology if you can come up with something that's even smaller.
Now, we should say it's the fastest selling music player in history, but not the best selling. The Walkman actually has moved 350 million units.
The Walkman family.
The family. Which shows you that...
Just cassettes, or does that include CD?
No, I'm sure it's the whole product line.
Okay. Well, that's not fair.
But that goes back to 1980-something.
Yeah, 1979. Right. I mean, no, I think you could pretty much say the iPod has supplanted the Walkman. I guess my point is that the Walkman isn't what it used to be. It eventually got supplanted.
Right, right. Well, clearly, you know, holographic technologies that are being worked on right now.
Apple be right there? I mean,
yeah, but you know, if it will fit within the confines of an iPod, they'll use it. But it could be that they'll supplant something else. Merlin has said it. Alex has said it. You've said it, Leo. I've said it. It's not about the iPod. It's about iTunes.
Yeah. Well,
that's the reason the iPod sells.
It's about the environment, the ecology,
yeah,
the ecosystem.
Environment.
But, you know, it's
yeah.
it's not just the anti, well, I don't want to say anti-Apple people, because they have every right to dislike Apple, but it's not just those people, though, that are kind of waiting for the other shoe to fall. I got to say, I'm kind of myself surprised that they haven't, I don't know, anybody who lived through the mid-90s kind of has to wonder about some of that Apple DNA still being around. But they seem to, I don't know how they keep coming up with winners like this.
Well, we'll see if the iPhone is a winner, but the iPod certainly is a success.
Did you see the Apple TV commercial?
And we can talk about that. Yeah, it was a good commercial featuring a School of Rock.
But I mean, they nailed it in there, and I'll certainly mangle this quote, but it's something like, you know, it's your music, it's on your computer, it's on your iPod, or you know, it's your stuff, and now it's on your TV.
Right.
And I think it's, once again, they seem to be making these concentric circles in kind of smart ways out around iTunes and around the Mac. And I mean, like today, the first thing I did when I got my tower set up was to go do the N enabler, and I set up a separate N network, and I'm not doing syncing anymore on my Apple TV. I'm just doing straight streaming.
You're not having any buffering issues? I'm having major buffering issues, but I think it's because the main computer is not an N computer.
But to be fair, I haven't sat and watched the whole Heroes or anything, but I was very quickly pulling up video podcasts off my tower.
I have major buffering issues, but I think it's,
Do you ever lose the connection?
All the time.
See, that makes me crazy. I don't know if it's a lease. Do you think it's a lease problem?
Yeah, I think it's the 802. It's Wi-Fi.
But I wonder if it's a DHCP lease issue.
That it's expiring?
Or something. Because I just...
Wi-Fi just does that. And if you're in a crowded neighborhood, as you are, I'm sure there's lots of Wi-Fi base stations in your neighborhood.
Well, not in the sunset. But my hack for that is to just go in and tell it, act like you want to go look for a new iTunes, and the numbers come up.
Right.
And that, for some reason, and then menu out of that, and for some reason, that seems to help it refine.
That's good to know.
And there actually, as I found today, there's a pretty good helper doc on the Apple site if you're having trouble getting hooked up. There's a whole.
This is why I'm waiting for 2.0.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, Scott, it's pretty polished. I mean, it's just to completely beat a dead horse. The funny thing is, the best looking content on there is podcasts right now.
Oh, listen, I'm excited about all that. I think that is what's the cool thing about it, but. You know, I don't want to wait. I don't want to have all these problems. I just want it to work, so I'm going to wait for 2.0.
Well, I mean, you can also, your point's well taken. You can also do things like hook up your internet. I think I'm very close to being ready to try some of the surgery, because it looks, at this point, I've waited and it looks like nothing's blown up yet. So I think I'm ready to try.
You're going to do the hack?
I'm thinking about it. Has anybody come up with a way to do Xvid that doesn't involve pulling the?
You know, I'm
up?
Surprised. When we did that Mac break, which by the way, probably won't. That's why Alex is probably not here. I'm sure he's working on that right now.
I hope he's working on throwing it away.
But when we did that Mac break, that was one of the things I thought. I predicted at the time was that these hacks where you have to take the thing apart would be quickly supplanted by a hack to an external drive that you boot from, and I haven't seen that. I'm actually surprised.
Well, yeah, that's right. And we thought that USB service port was going to end up, you know, being the key to everything. But the thing is, I mean, at the heart of it, if I understand this correctly, and I could be wrong, but at the heart of it, what you're doing when you pull the drive is installing, you know, basically a little door that lets you come in via Unix.
Right.
And once you can do that,
you can do anything you want.
Yeah, exactly.
And incidentally, Apple has said, we don't have a back door. We don't plan to disable these features. Effectively giving people permission to go ahead and hack the Apple TV, which is great news.
And that's what I find really interesting, because that just seems counterintuitive, the Apple culture, but maybe they're learning.
Well, especially for them to, I could see in private them thinking that, but to say it in public is you're right. It's very
surprising. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next thing you know, they'll actually be talking about products before they're released.
No, never. Well, wait a minute. Didn't they do that with the Apple TV? Maybe
they kind of did. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm saying. I got this call from Satan. He goes, you know, hell is really cold. We've got no DRM on music. We got, some kind of scheme where you can download the music and not have to pay for it. Now we're talking about products before they're released. Heck, I mean, it's, you know, they're going to relocate International Falls, Minnesota to hell.
The world is changing very rapidly, and it's making me extremely uncomfortable.
Maybe we could do a little bit of most of us are terrible at, which is a little bit of the predicting the future stuff. So we've just gotten a big rev, not a big rev, but I guess that's a pretty big deal. The Octo's coming out. So what hardware do we see coming out in the near future as we're coming up next?
New iMac.
Yeah, well, they're due, but what would they do differently?
They're very due.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see the interface, the iPhone interface on the new iMac. We're going to see Pinch.
Here's what I predict. Everything is waiting on Leopard.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. And waiting.
And waiting. And waiting. And waiting. But we'll see Leopard. Don't you think we'll see it at WWDC in June? And when that happens,
we better.
That's when you're going to see
it.
Really? You don't think so?
You
what do you know? Tell us what you know.
I don't know much, but I hear things. And
I don't know much, but what I know is no
Well,
Leopard.
I mean, you know how this stuff, the funny thing about software, if I could talk out of my butt for a minute, the funny thing about software is it's a really weird curve. You're watching something and it just looks like a bunch of rafters with no walls. And then you turn away and the next minute you look and it's a beautiful mansion. So, I mean, the software does not work on the kind of curve, you know, like building a bridge. Having said that, what I hear from a lot of different folks, this is not one person, this is not three people, is that it's not, it's just, whenever you say stuff like June, they're kind of like, oh, well, maybe.
In other words, it's kind of far off.
I guess people are saying it. Maybe
it's not quite ready.
So what are we going to talk about at WWDC? We're going to say, hey, remember that thing we talked about at last WWDC? We're still working on it.
Well, maybe they can at least show people
something. Developers have a release. If you're in the ADC, you get a release of this. Right. So you can load that up and be testing your software. It's not like developers are starving, you know, for that. Those updates are coming out. But, you know, as far as having it, so you guys think, do you think there are products that are hanging on?
Well, we know the iLife suite is. Mm-hmm. The iLife suite's completely hanging on it because remember we saw stuff during the keynote in Steve's presentation. It's not presently in the iLife suite, and he was running on a little Leopard shell.
Right. And if you're of the opinion that we're going to see major enhancements like Pinch, well, that's not going to happen unless you get
totally.
OS.
Yeah.
Doesn't Apple have a reputation
right.
for having kind of surprising last minute stuff get put in? I mean,
vice
you know what
versa.
I mean?
I think it has a reputation for last minute stuff not happening.
Oh, like falling off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just, you hear things.
Well, I think we're in danger of, the perpetual Vista's going to ship any day status on Leopard here.
Right.
But Apple's not saying that, are they? I mean, it's not like they're going, we swear it's almost ready. I mean, isn't there relative radio silence about the status?
Well, except for promising when it's going to come out, the net effect of having it take forever is still
and they
there.
Said, did they say spring? Was that what they're...
That was what they said originally.
And what's the last day of spring?
Yeah, that's what we're all trying to figure out.
Well, we've missed that,
second?
Haven't we? I mean,
I think it's, you know what it is? I think it's metric spring.
It's metric spring.
We're on imperial spring, but I think they have a different...
No, it's spring on Venus is the thing. It's the Venusian spring.
Well, it's not, you know, it's somewhere around June 22nd. I'm looking, it's not, I don't see it anywhere in the iCal U.S. holidays calendar, but I think it's around, the equinox is around, or what do you call it, the... Spring equinox is around June 22nd, I think. So when is WWDC? It's earlier than that.
It is.
June 11th is that's why everybody thinks that's when the iPhone's going to ship.
Yeah. Well, very I don't know. What other predictions might you have?
I would still, I mean, now I'm not going to go out and buy this now after all this crap, but I wish that they should do something with, a smaller, if there's some way they could put out a 12-inch again. You know, we talked about this a few months ago. You know, 12-inches are still retaining their value like crazy.
Yeah, love to see it.
Because, I mean, you can't beat it for portability. And this is one way in which PCs are just eating their lunch. You can get a fairly inexpensive PC laptop that's you can put in a bag without breaking your back.
I would like to see, I don't know why we haven't seen Blu-ray support.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to see that.
There are now terabyte hard drives out there. I know anybody who would buy 16 gigs of memory probably would like 2 or 3 terabyte hard drives.
Well, here's what I did get, just so you'll know. I got those new G drives that Alex is always talking about, the 1.5 terabyte RAIDs, and they are fast, fast, fast.
Somebody called me on the radio show and said, well, I want to buy an external drive. Should I get a G drive? And I said, well, I have a friend who has like 12 of them, but I'm not sure I'd spend the extra money in normal... For normal use, would you? Do you think?
Well, you know, in this case, these are drives that you haven't seen yet. These are brand new ones, Leo. These are the 1.5 terabyte versions, and they are the throughput is the big deal on them, and they are fast enough to capture HDMI video direct.
Wow.
Wow.
And I bought them for this multimedia purpose.
So that's so different.
That's different.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other G drives you saw at my condo, those G drives are fanless. And since I used to use them in my studio, the fanless portion is why I spent the extra money, because they don't make noise.
Okay.
Did you just on our last topic, did you see this post on Boing Boing via Slashdot about the top 10 Blu-ray discs? Did you see this post?
Well, the number one is Casino Royale, which sold 100,000.
Casino Royale. Well, so, and they're saying here Casino Royale came out March 13th, and in this 1 week, this week ending, I forget where here, sold 28,000 copies. Okay, that's number one at 28,000 copies.
What's number two?
Number 10 is Babel, which sold 880 copies.
Yeah, that's little secret.
Nobody's
that's coming
buying.
Out now. I actually have the Babel HD DVD on my desk. It's a beautiful disc.
Part of the problem is you can't find this stuff anywhere. I was in Borders yesterday,
exactly
day before,
right.
trying to find. I walked around to the two or three clerks and said, "You got any Blu-ray discs? Because I have a Blu-ray player." And they're like, "What's Blu-ray?"
Yeah, I went to the warehouse in town and I said, "Do you sell any high def discs?" They said, "No."
Wow.
Just no.
At least they knew what it was.
Yeah. Sorry, Merlin. What did you say?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I walked past a Blockbuster video the other day and I just thought, man. That's a job I would not want, is having to be a Blockbuster at this point and figure out how you're going to keep, you know, with the incredibly long tail of the way DVDs work and how Netflix is able to serve that kind of need. How would you even stock a Blockbuster at this point with DVDs, HD?
You don't put any HD discs in, I'm going to be unhappy. Although, as you point out, the dirty little secret of these high def discs is a lot of them are selling fewer than 1,000 of items.
Tell you what this feels like. This feels like about 1978 and where we were with what came before Laserdiscs. What were those called?
Interactive discs.
But those huge ass, they look like LPs, those big.
Well, those are Laserdiscs, yeah.
Laserdiscs.
And
yeah.
Then before there was CDI.
There was actually VCD or something.
VCD, the video CD.
Was the other
there
format.
Were those, and then, and remember when back in the day before they got everything squared away, and if you wanted to buy a copy of MASH in beta, it would be like $100. That's what this reminds me of. Because so get this, though. Again, this is from that Boing Boing post from April, I think, 9th. So number one is Casino Royale at 28,000. Number two is The Departed at 3,057.
That falls off very rapidly. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's 1 week sales. And in fact, Casino Royale did end up selling over 100,000, the first high-def disc to sell over 100,000.
But those numbers are not sufficient to sustain a business, I can tell you right now.
You don't think that'll pick up, Scott?
I think it'll pick up, but I'm just saying, if it doesn't, you can forget about all this high-def disc stuff. It's not going to be around for long because these people, the marketing budgets that I've seen associated with these products, I mean, they're losing somewhere on the line of, you know, $800 to $1.
Well, and frankly, this is the problem. They created this problem themselves by having two competing incompatible formats. I have no sympathy.
That and one of the worst retail distributions I've seen of any new product.
Yeah.
I mean, there's poor training, obviously, at the Borders because the people didn't even know what it is. I did eventually find a single Blu-ray disc hidden on a rack, so they have some. But I mean, this kind of sea change requires a total top-down approach in how you're going to get things out from the distributors.
And it's ironic because so many people have high-def televisions.
And
HD DVD is the best way to look at high def TV.
I'm standing there going, after Alex ruined cable HD for me, thank you very much, Alex. Now I can no longer stand to watch anything except via my high-res stuff. So I'm over there with my $60 sticking out of the top of my shirt pocket going, I want to buy this incredibly stupidly priced disc, and they don't have them.
Is that what they cost?
$60.
Well, always. No.
Well, that's the one. The ones I bought so far are $60.
Yeah,
so I don't know.
Are you sure
that's
they
have
cost,
some.
Scott? They might just see you coming and go.
I think it's
quit
the,
it.
It's the Scott
effect. Stop. Listen, stop it.
There's a man who put 16 gigs of memory in his machine. Quick,
would you
triple
guys
the price.
Quit it? Listen, I spent $60 because that's what they told me it cost. If it's cheaper, are there some of them cheaper?
Oh yeah, absolutely. In fact,
okay.
The price is only
Casino Royale's 38 MSRP.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Fifth Element is number 9, a movie that, if memory serves, is from about what 96 or 97.
Yeah, it's a really good movie.
That's a really good movie.
Well, if I paid too much, then somebody who sold it to me cheated me, and I'll find
them. The Departed is $27.95 on Amazon. Batman Begins is $19.95. Children of Men, which is the one I want desperately, is $27.95.
Yeah. I just got it.
Yeah, that's supposed to be a great HD DVD.
Oh, such a great movie.
Yeah. $19.95 for Serenity. This is Amazon prices.
Well, see, I'm talking retail prices, so I don't know. Maybe
you got to get on the Amazon Prime.
The list
Scott.
Is $40.
Okay. Well, I paid too much. Then I'll find it. I'll find
which,
it.
But in any event, for which movie?
I'm trying to remember what it is. The
it might have
cost
been
me $60
or something.
It might. It was one that was long. Yeah. I can remember that.
Yeah. But, it was probably Apocalypse Now, the director's no cut version, which in fact has
swallowed a bug.
The horror. So, Casino Royale was two discs.
Yeah. Well, the one I've looked at, I bought two and I've only watched one of them, and I can't remember which one it was, but I remember is being enthralled with the video quality.
Yeah, they look. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's why I'm surprised these things aren't selling better, because if you have an HD TV, and I guess because a lot of people don't have the HD players, but you know, I mean, if you get a PS3. Or you get if you have an Xbox 360, you spend $200 for an HD DVD player. That's what I did. And it really makes that screen shine.
If you wanted to buy one of these, they're like, what, like $400 for a Blu-ray player?
Just standalone. There's a $300 Toshiba. The dual formats are $1,200.
You can spend $600 and get a PlayStation 3, and it includes a Blu-ray player.
Right. That's probably the way to go.
That's what I did.
$200 to add one to your Xbox 360, which is the cheapest. But Toshiba's HDA2 on Amazon right now, $309.
Well, let's do one of those things we do where we ask the audience to help us and say, if you have a great online or San Francisco-based source for Blu-ray discs, let us know.
Yeah. Well, I get them on Amazon. That's what I just ordered Children of Men because you said it was so good.
Oh, hey, man, that's great.
Let's wrap this sucker up with our picks. We only have three guys on here. Alex couldn't make it today, so it's going to be pretty quick. We've got a number of people on our MBW ideas on Delicious. By the way, if you've got an idea, a story for us, that's the tag to use on Delicious, MBW ideas. A number of people put Sticky Windows on here. I saw it on Dig as well, and I downloaded it. You remember in OS, I guess it was OS 9, where you could tab windows down to the bottom of the screen and there'd just be a little tab?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh,
it's back. Only these sticky windows, you can put them on any part of the screen. And they minimize, they go back up. It is just a great way to organize windows. And, you know, I missed it when it was an OS 10, and now it's back. And this is I think it's $15 shareware, and it's really a nice little piece of software. I bought the family pack for $40 and got it on all my systems.
So it's sort of a little bit like when you send it down to the dock, except it's just a little tab that pops up.
It's a tab. It could be any side of the screen.
Is this the one? I mean, I remember back in the day there was one where it was almost like minimizing. You know, go down the bottom, you get a folder tab, and then when you click it, it'll kind of slide up like a drawer.
Kind of like
when,
that.
When you mouse over, is that what it does?
Not when you mouse over, you click it. You can have it do what you would like it to do, which is automatically, when you open one, hide all the other windows.
Okay.
So you would love this with your clear screen effect, because with a black screen, no menu bar, you just see the tabs for the windows you want. You click the tab, it zips up. You would love it for the ADD.
I am sure I don't know what you mean.
Anyway, it's from Donaleski. It also has one of the most pretty, I think, system preference panes. They've got a pink butterfly. It's pink. The pig is very big on pink. I guess it's a moth, not a butterfly. But I thought this was really great. Donelleschi, Donaleski. And it is free to try. They give you a little nagging, but that's all. I think this is a very nice little tool. Donaleski.com, Sticky Windows. Sticky Windows. And Mr. Scott Bourne, you have a pick for us, I know.
Business Card Composer.
Oh.
I wanted not to make some business cards. I wanted to make some little business card size promotional things because, you know, we're opening the production studio here in San Francisco. And I was talking to printers and they wanted, you know, like zillions of dollars to do something pretty basic. Somebody had mentioned to this program to me before, so I thought I'll try it out. It's $35. And you can perfectly interact with all your own stuff from iPhoto and everything else and make these cool little business card size promo things using Avery stock or, you know, print on anything
you
want.
When you print these out, they always have that little rough edge on it.
But no, see, that's the cool thing. The Avery ones don't.
Ah.
You can get the ones that don't have edges. So if you needed to make business cards that looked pretty legit,
did they
you can
real?
Use this for that.
Yeah.
They look very real.
Oh, cool.
But more importantly, you can use this for all kinds of other things where you just want to make a small little card
to
promote something.
Like Federal Bikini Inspector.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I have that card.
You know.
I bet Scott's making those tonight.
Actually, when we start to do the non-clean version of MacBook,
we'll talk about that.
the thing is that I got to looking at this, and everyone says, well, yeah, there's other ways to make business cards. And yeah, there is. But this is so easy that it just doesn't pay to do it any other way. It has what I really like about it, incredible ability to interact with all your other stuff like iPhoto and just make it really seamless. It's the way Mac stuff is supposed to work. It's from Belight, B-E-L-I-G-H-T software. I have no relationship with these people. They don't even know I like their program probably, but I did buy it.
Very cool. And finally, Merlin Mann, your software pick of the week.
Well, I'm going to do that thing John Foster hates, and I'm going to suggest something that I have not spent a lot of time with, but I am really impressed with the look of it so far. You guys go look at Ubercaster.com.
I know all about it.
Have you tried Ubercaster?
I've been with the alpha and then the beta.
Oh. Ubercaster is an all-in-one audio podcasting tool that I didn't have time to spend a lot of time with it, but you open it up and it's got different modes. It's got a mode for preparing your podcast, a mode for recording your podcast, and so on. And I'm just, you know, for folks who want, and it's really, really good looking. And it has these sort of like templates that work a little bit like, I guess, I don't know, I assume like Pro Tools. In my experience, something like sound capture programs that let you go in and process. You can drop in, you know, MP3s of music. It has ducking, so it can turn the music down for when you speak. It's got automatic duck procedure. but this is a really, I want to spend more time with this, but it's a really neat looking program. And I mention it also because I see here that it's got a bundle with another wonderful program that's a previous pick of mine called Feeder. And it looks like you can buy these two apps together for 15% off right now.
Wow, that's a good idea, because then you'd really have everything you need to make your podcast right from...
That's right. Yeah. And Feeder, I got to say, I'm using Feeder to make... Oh my God, I'm using it. Yeah. Of course, Ben laughs at me because he writes... I don't know. He writes all of his own XML by hand or something. But I love it. If you've got to make your own feeds, it's great. Anyway, check it out, ubercaster.com. I'm not sure what the price is, but...
Here, let me click the big buy now
button. Wow, it's $80.
Okay, never mind.
I just want to point out that GarageBand is free and has most of these same features.
Yeah, but GarageBand, it also it breaks a lot.
Well, as long as you don't go over 40 minutes, it doesn't.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though, Scott. I mean, I agree with you. And GarageBand, I think it is. I don't love GarageBand for recording podcasts, to be honest.
No, it isn't that great for recording. It's better for assembling.
I have used it for editing, and I really like the ease of compression and stuff like that. I tend to record in Sound Studio or Amadeus 2 or like just a capture program. But anyway, I thought this was kind of neat. There's a lot of people out there who are interested in starting podcasts, but they obviously don't want to become a complete dork like us. So I think it's nice that there's something like that out there. I have a mini tip, if you'll allow me, Leo. You know
Please.
How we're big fans of Text Expander.
Yes.
My smile on my Mac.
Yes, I know what you're going to say. Go, I love this.
I just had a post on this yesterday. So Text Expander is a program that lets you add little shortcuts. You type a little shortcut, and that explodes into a big bunch of text. So you could say, like in my case, I type N-E-W-C-E-L-L, and it types out my new cell phone number that I refuse to remember. All kinds of great stuff
You'll
like
never
that.
Learn it that way, Mr. Man.
Well, this is the future, Leo. And so they've previously had this wonderful bundle of snippets you can add that has all of the most popular or unpopular corrections for spelling errors. They just added a new one this week that has really cool little snippets for HTML. So if you're somebody
who downloaded it immediately,
it works pretty great.
Yeah.
So if you're somebody who spends a lot of time typing, especially in web forms,
remember the little abbreviations. It's the only negative, but it's nice to have.
They're pretty transparent. If you type, and they all begin with comma, so they've got their own little namespace. Mm-hmm. So if you type comma H2, it creates paired H2 tags, for example.
So slick.
So anyway, that's at smileonmymac.com. I'm sure you can find it where you can see the post on 43 folders. So anyway, tip and a half.
And then it's got also dot, like dot for all the HTML entities. You've got dot amp or dot BU or dot C for the copyright, dot EU for
Euro. That's a good trick. People who are like, I haven't gotten into this, but people who are serious Text Expander ninjas will use some kind of a meta character or
to create a namespace. So comma is for like the HTML and dot is for the entities.
It's like the old days when you put spaces and underscores in front of file names.
Right. Well, we're out of time, but I'm glad we could get together. Now, I think we're going to take next week off because it's NAB, so a lot of people are going to be at NAB. You probably want to listen to TWIM, And who knows? Apple may have some announcements at NAB. It's not unheard of that they would announce pro products at that. It's the National Association of Broadcasters show in Las Vegas. Alex will be there. Are you going, Scott?
No.
Nor am I. And I guess you're not going, Merlin.
I'll be having lunch with people who are going to Web 2.0 here in San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. Web 2.0 is this week, is next week, too.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be drilling down all day.
Big story there. And I'm going to be in Vancouver doing the TV show, so we're just going to take next week off. But we'll be back a week from Tuesday with another episode of Mac Week Weekly. Thank you. Have a great Mac Week. We'll see you next time.